Well, good afternoon. It's a beautiful afternoon. It's full on sun, which hasn't quite slipped behind the grey cloud that's threatening to envelop it. Don't know how it's managed that. Anyway, I thought to myself, let's press on with the cider tasting, because cider tasting, I mean, who does cider tasting? Not many people can tell one wine from another. Almost nobody understands cider. That is so pitiful. It's our greatest world-class alcoholic drink, and nobody can tell one cider from another. So I've chosen two which I could well be quite difficult in the glass looking at to tell the difference. And I'm going to pour a little bit of one and a little bit of the other and just talk them through. And I think these two are going to be pretty nice, okay? And they're both Thatcher's. Now, I don't like Thatcher's Gold on draft from the pub. I just don't think it's got anything going for it at all, so I avoid it. But some of the other things they do, particularly the blood orange cider. Now, if you're an aficionado of scrumpy ciders, you're probably not going to like it. But I do think, as a totally one-off, refreshing, totally different drink for a weekend or midweek, whatever, anyone really, that couple of cans or bottles of that is fantastic stuff. It's really, really delicious, right? And the trouble with a lot of these ciders is they're only about 4%. A lot of ciders are like that. And I think I've picked up one of those deliberately. So Fetchers have got quite a few varieties. There's a hazy one, which is nice, very nice. But these ones, the blood orange, and this one is the juicy apple, which I haven't had. They're only 4%, okay? So they're baby ciders. They're not real ciders, but they probably have something else in them. Let me just have a look at the labelling here, see what it says. Thatcher's Juicy Apple Cider is a mouth-wateringly crisp, juicy cider with sweetness bursting through and a fresh apple-y aroma. Delicious blend of sun-drenched dessert apples made at our family farm, where we are powered by 100% renewable electricity. I bet that makes the cider taste better, doesn't it? The reason why I thought it would be nice is that word juicy apple, but I just could not resist the can label. I'm sorry, no, I couldn't. I'm going to take one out now, and to me, it's just an adorable blue, red, and gold. And there's something about it that just makes me want to pick it up. And it's gold. The tops are gold. Amazing. And that's not the only gold top I've got today. I'm now. I'm going to have a quick rant, but there are certain products I've noticed, like butter and cream, which in the last 3 years or so have gone from £1.80 to £3. Right, so we're saying that from a few pennies in the 1970s, they've taken 50 years to get to £2 or 180, and now in just a couple of years or so, they've jumped from £2 or 180 to £3. So we're saying that's okay, are we? We're saying the price of milk has gone up so much that this is a requirement, perhaps. Interesting, because I'm not watching the price of milk go up, so much. But we can only assume it's to do with supermarket greed. So very, very rapidly now, within June, I'm going to drop supermarkets and corner shops. But anyway, what I've managed to get is a total luxury for me. It's not any double cream, which is just off my list, because I refuse to purchase something for £3 that a couple of years ago was £1.80. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to do that. So stuff it up your jacksie. So this is Longleaf Farm Fresh Double Cream. Now, it's been years since I had that, really gold top stuff, and it had been reduced to £1. But the lady in the shop, I bought the eight ciders, and I bought thin and crispy triple cheese topped edge to edge pizza, right? She let me have it for nothing because she's nice. So I thought to myself, I've got tinned peaches, banana, and some grapes. Make a fruit salad and just lavish this double cream over, because double cream is a total one-off luxury for me now. Probably eat cream, what, 3 times a year now? Because they want to profiteer on it. I'm not prepared to go for the profiteering. My attitude towards alcohol prices is on a completely different level, right? But food is not a luxury product, is it? Food is just food. You know, like cream, it just comes off milk, and milk is just milk. You know, it comes out of cows. So not many people know that, but it does. So I'm going to go up the road to a place called Plouinden Farm and try and source all my dairy products from them if I can. They've got a lovely herd of, you know, milk cows. Wonderful. So just get a bit more in the mud and, you know, see if I can source milk and things like that from them, no matter what the cost, right? Because the cost of paying a lot less, it actually costs us soul to pay a lot less and go to the supermarket. So, yeah, these batches are very much, you know, they're very much lined towards the supermarkets, but I'm just using these types of ciders to see if we can hit some, you know, platform levels and then find parallels and then bounce off from there and find, you know, the best cider in Britain. And one of the contenders for that at the moment is Dunkerton's of Herefordshire, because I was so impressed, and you can read all about that in one of January's articles here on houseeffectbooks.com. So let's crack open this Thatcher's Juicy Apple Cider and get it inside. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful can, absolutely beautiful, fantastic looks. I do like, and they're becoming increasingly rarer, I absolutely love a cider that looks like champagne, and this one is absolutely clear. I mean, it could just be fizzy water. Amazing. I'll do a picture. That's absolutely glorious. Let's chuck it down my neck and see what it's like. Now, the only thing I disapprove of is that it did say it's from dessert apples, and I don't like ciders coming from dessert apples, but you know, I think they should come from cider apples. But you're not going to get those, you know, sweet juiciness from a cider apple, because they're very tart, very strong. This sort of cider at 4%, it's not much stronger than lemonade, but it tastes of apples and not lemons. Not that lemonade does, you know, taste of apples or lemons, but what I'm saying is it's a nice quaffing drink for a long summer's day. And this one's got a magical sort of foam on it. It just is, it sort of says beach to me. It tastes of crunching into a very, very lush dessert apple. You know, probably something around a Worcester Pear Main, I would say. That's a treat. Now, I wasn't expecting that to be amazing, but it is lovely. It's pretty much exactly what I expected. The reason I bought it was I thought I'd do half and half with the Thatcher's Vintage Founder's Cider, aged for mature character. And this one is a whopping, 8.3%. Now, you can get wines like, you know, Zinfandel, which is, sorry to swear, but you can. And, you know, they're 8%. So this is stronger than a wine. Thatcher's Vintage. I'm just looking around the can to see if it's got any information on it. 2025 vintage, which I doubt the other one will say, because it won't be a vintage cider, it's just a generic thing. So this one was a bit more money, but I think probably £2 more for the four, it probably is better value, particularly as it's, well, it's twice and more alcohol, isn't it? You know, but the point with cider is it's not about the alcohol content, which with beer you can tell a beer's alcohol content, you know, in one sip. But with cider, it's about finding the holy grail. So let's try this one, and then I'm going to try them mixed together. You can think what you like about that, I don't mind. not giving a tinker's cuss. Right, so this one's really lovely, sort of pear gold. Really, really nice. Very, very light in colour. It's not a big dark gold of like Thatcher's gold. So the reason why I think this is going to be a good cider is because it's founder's cider, and all the ciders at 8.3% are usually matured in oak vats. I don't know whether this one is or not, but essentially it's a connoisseur's top-notch item, and it's going to be made with much more care and attention to detail for people that really know what they're drinking and want the best. And so what I'm doing in my mind right now, I'm comparing it to Weston's vintage at 8.2%. I'm just trying to think. I had some other cider that was a high percentage as well. I'm not quite sure. So, I mean, Thatcher's seem to be determined to put out as many varieties as they can and sort of take over rather like Coca-Cola does, you know. I don't know what is the difference between zero sugar Coca-Cola and Diet Coke, you know. I don't like the stuff, but I quite fancy buying one of those each and doing a tasting to see if there's any difference at all between Diet Coke and zero sugar. Well, I don't really understand. What's the difference? You know, I don't think there is any difference, is it? It's the same gunk in different labels. And essentially with Thatcher's, you know, 4% range, it's the same gunk, right? But it's treated slightly differently. So, you know, this one is basically what you see is what you get. It's juicy apple. Another one's got blood orange in it. Another one's, they done something, left the skins in or something to make it hazy. It's essentially the same cider from the same apples on the same farm, yeah? And these are the same apples, but there'll probably be more cider varietals. And, you know, it's really heavily leaning on its oak, and what I'm noticing, and this is important because, you know, what is the difference between cider and cider apples and the vintage alcoholic content? Because if we can understand cider, we can probably understand almost everything in the commercial world, and you take your pick. Okay, so what I'm getting here, and I'm just going to pour a little bit more because I don't want to be hasty in my appropriation here. This is very, very important. This is one of the really strong ciders from an old cidery, you know, in Britain. Is it any good? It's a question. Is it any good? I mean, you could say, well, it's good because it's alcoholic, but vodka's alcoholic. It doesn't make that any good, does it? Now, this is the interesting thing, and like I say, it's, you know, cider's not about the alcoholic content, it's about the apple quality. I don't think I could instantly, unlike with a beer, you know, because the more alcohol in a beer, the thicker the beer is. You know, it's, and the taste is just, you can literally tell point degrees of, you can tell a 3.4 from a 3.7 with beer, right? But with cider, that's not so obvious because it's the apples, not the alcohol, right? So I don't think I could tell that was twice as alcoholic as the other one. And this is why cider is a very, very different beast to beer, because you could easily, without realizing it, drink a pint of this 8% cider in a pub, then you could go and drink another one. 2 pints of 8% is going to send you way over the driving limit. Whereas 2 at 4%, and by the time you've drunk it, if you take your time over it and you've had something to eat with it, you should be safely inside the driving limit. But you won't be with the 8%. And very often pubs don't advertise the percentage of a cider that they're selling. So you must ask. Always ask, and in a pub when you're out drinking, it's not advisable to go over 6% cider if you're driving. Okay, that's just a tip. You don't have to listen to me. You know, I probably don't listen to myself, but I'm just saying, you know, the thing is that cider can get very, very alcoholic very quickly and you don't taste it. And that's what I think, in a way, is the beauty of this one. You know, I'm going to talk twice as much rubbish by the end of the evening because I won't have a clue that I've got quite drunk on 8% cider. By the time it's inside me, it won't be cider, it'll be cider. Okay, so cider is a magnificent fruit drink that you need to get inside you. It's incredibly, incredibly healthy, quite possibly the most healthy of alcoholic drinks. for the simple reason that Samuel Pepys had an awful job with a stone inside him. And at that time, in the 15 and 1600s, people in the West Country didn't get these stones because they regularly drank cider, and the acid in the cider is enough to break down the crystals that form the stones, okay? So they used to say in the 1600s, you know, if you want to do your gut good, drink cider. And people's guts then aren't much different to people's guts now, except that we are paying an awful lot more for our butter, so we tend towards the cheap marge, right? It's all done on purpose. And we tend towards the processed foods, and the result is that our guts are not in the state for our age that they would have been back in the 1600s. And in those days, they didn't fuss about drink driving because they didn't have motor engines, so they didn't need to, because essentially when you're driving, the horse knows where it's going. It doesn't matter how drunk you are, okay? So, you know, we'd be a lot better off if we went back to horse vehicles, because we could drink a lot more. And it's as simple as that, and we'd all be a lot happier, you know? And some people get a bit violent, so they'd be a lot happier being violent, and the rest of the people would be happier trying to suppress them. You know, we'd be a much jollier nation. And one of the few things I don't think we've ever really tried, but do we export much cider? And who else in the world drinks cider? The Normans drink cider. But who else drinks cider? Most amazing drink. Just apple juice. And it's come up to 8.3%. And you think about that. It's the most pure, healthy thing you could drink. Incredible. Just apple juice. Beautiful West Country apple juice. And it's alcoholic to boot. What not to love, eh? But the important thing that I want you to take away with this is that this cider, both of them, and I've been tasting a lot of Herefordshire ciders this year, and hopefully I'll get to taste some Sheppey cider at some point. But there's such a foam on this, right? A real lush foam, and that's a peculiarity of Thatcher's. And it makes for a very, very lush drink. But what I'm going to say is, alcoholically, I can't tell the difference between those two. I can taste the slight more maturity and probably better quality apples on the stronger one. But this is the crunch point. If I tasted that, and I might save one to do this, if I tasted that alongside of the Western's vintage 8.2%, although they're both as alcoholic and they're both apple juice, and they're both going to, you know, make me feel like I've been kicked in the head by a shy horse in the morning. the fact of the matter is, the Western's tastes impeccably good, but this just tastes like a run-of-the-mill cider. But it is alcoholic. So I don't know, where do you go with that? It doesn't taste like, you know, 40 years of oak vats, never mind 100, do you know? And some of Western's oak vats date back 100 years, I think. So it just doesn't taste as quality. And it probably is as quality. I mean, it's apples, you know. I mean, what we're going to get into with this cider tasting, and it runs through the year and, you know, for as long as I buy cider, but essentially it's like a battle of the bands. Whose apples are the more quality? Somerset or Herefordshire, or wait a bit, Kent, right? And whose attention to detail is better. Now, I have a collection of empty cider bottles, really top quality ones. And I was just looking at them last night because the oldest bottle is much more alcoholic in content because the cider farms have been dumbing their ciders down, probably just to sell more, and again to do with the drink driving laws, which is a terrible, terrible shame. And I think we should all go back to owning shy horses, right? But I do have a couple of amazing Biddenden ciders, and they're incredible. I can't get my head around them, but both of them are made from apples which are pink or red inside. The flesh is pink or red, not white. And they are called Red Love 5% and Kentish Kiss 5%. So I'm going to get some of those later in the season and I'll do a fantastic tasting on those. And I've been drinking Biddenden cider quite a bit this year in the local pubs, and only on Saturday I had a full pint of Kentish Kiss, and it was a beautiful pink colour, okay, from the pub, and it was just so unbelievably delicious. And I also, on the Friday, I had one from Tenterden, and I'm not quite sure what it was called, but I think it was probably again Red Love, I'm fairly sure. Yeah, so Red Love is the name of the apple, and it's I don't think it's a cider apple, right? It's some kind of dessert apple, but they thought, let's try making a cider out of it. And so this was another red fleshed apple by a very, very local, because I was drinking this in Rye and Warehorn, and they're made in Biddenden and Tenterden. So there's a tiny, tiny area, right? You know, there's no carbon footprint in there at all. This is a tiny, tiny area to be drinking these locally made ciders. And that was pink as well. And between those two ciders, I have to say, I honestly think, and again, they're not cider apples as such, but the care and attention to detail from two cider farms in Kent, I have to say, I do think, and I know, and I've had a discussion on Friday as well in a pub with someone who's a real cider aficionado, and he thinks Kent cider's just rubbish compared to the West Country. But no, I think I'm hesitating before I say the words. I think they're better. I think Kent ciders can be the most exquisite ciders in the world, and I don't think I'd ever say that. Kent cider. And here I am in Kent. That's lucky, isn't it? I have lived in I've lived in Cornwall and I've lived in Herefordshire. So I do get around these sort of cider counties, okay? Now I've talked a lot, but I honestly think it's very important to understand what is a good cider and what is a fake cider. And I was talking with the lady on the till about the wines on her shelf. Said there's a lot of, you know, it's a good lineup, it's all popular wines, but there's only one wine on that shelf that's actually a wine. The rest of them are just grape juice that comes out of huge factories. And that's very much true of cider. I mean, Stella Artois did one some time ago, and it was a very orange cider. And it took the world by storm, because suddenly here was an incredibly sweet, delicious, wonderful cider. And I began to wonder if it was better than some of our, you know, proper cider farm ciders. And so that was when I did my very first cider tasting. And I tried about 8 different ciders that you could just buy in shops. And by the time I'd done that, I was under the table. No, I wasn't. I realised very quickly on trying out the different ciders all together that the Stella Artois one was a pile of absolute shite. You know, but when you put something on its own, it looks quite good. And that's kind of the point of piano competitions. You know, the young kid with only one leg, 4 teeth, and is only 2'4", sounds fantastic until you put him alongside of you know, some girl from Vietnam who's been playing since she was still in the womb, you know, and you quickly notice that there is a difference, right? So I'm just fascinated with the history of cider, and I love the way that you can, you know, you can evolve your holidays around cider farms. Wonderful thing to do, because you're going to go out into some of the most unspoiled, beautiful parts of Britain, and you are going to breathe real air. Air that hasn't been polluted by factory towns, factories, and the cars which drive to and from factories. It's something else to get into a part of Britain where you're getting the sensation of what it would have been like to live a couple of hundred years ago, before all this pollution came into our air. It's not very often you can find any water, is it, that's not polluted. I go to Malvern and get water out of the spring, but they're constantly trying to stop you from doing that, because how dare you access free water that's coming out of the ground from, you know, granite, for goodness sake. It's not up to company standards, and of course I don't need to point that out, because it certainly isn't up to company standards. It's the real thing, and that's what we're doing with ciders. So some of these ciders are going to be really genuine bona fide ciders with apples grown on the farm, pressed, and then, you know, sent out to Kent from Somerset. What is the point in that when we've got cider here, you know? But that's the modern age. You can buy anything from anywhere. And if you get a chance, the best possible thing to food pair with your cider is obviously fruit salad, and if you can get your hands on some Longley Farm fresh strawberry cream, which was free, they're good for you. You know, it's excellent stuff. It's got only 2.3 grams of carbohydrates, so it's perfectly suitable for a non-carb diet like mine. Right, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to blend them together, okay? I know I talk a lot, but I'm trying to take you through not the actual product itself, but the entire genre of producing quality stuff in this country, and why you might want to look around this country to source it for yourself from the actual place it's made, and get yourself an education in life while you go. Because if you look out, you might see some butterflies or birds or grass snakes, or you know, you might even see a fish in a river or something. Not very likely, but you might find otters. There's the holy grail, is to go somewhere in Britain and be quiet enough until an otter comes out. I don't think I've ever seen, but they're very furtive, I don't think I've ever seen a river vole. Okay, so a vole, an otter, what else do we have? These days we have beavers, because stupid people thought it was a clever idea to bring beavers into this country. And you know what beavers do? They're a damn nuisance, aren't they? But you can't tell anyone anything. Right, so let's put these two together. And then, you know, you can think what you like, but this is why I bought them. To have a nice, long, refreshing drink this afternoon. And I'm even going to add some lemonade, again, with the idea of just having a drink that's going to take a long time to drink, because I'm fed up of tea. Right, so about half and half of the two ciders, and then I'll just add a bit of lemonade, and I'll tell you what I think. You know, because sometimes you just want a nice, easy drink. So obviously we've got a drink now which looks exactly like the 8.3% cider, because the other one's so transparent, it's not going to add anything to the colour or take away. I think now I've got a pretty good, refreshing cider. It's not going to appeal to you if you like the heavily oak maturity, right? But if you want a good cider that's not just, you know, something else, fruit juice and a whole load of saccharin and carbonated water, you've got a fairly decent drink here. In a certain sense, I would say that was pretty orgasmic, actually. Now I'm going to try with some lemonade. Don't forget, I do drink the very best, like Dunkerton, so it's not all about, you know, super stiffix. Right, so here we're going to just pop a little bit of lemonade in, and you know, sometimes there are times when you might want to drink something that tastes good, but it's slightly less alcoholic, like if you're ferrying everyone to a barbecue on a Saturday, don't do that. And so, you know, be a little bit imaginative. A 4% cider with topped up half, you know, shandy lemonade, you could probably get away with drinking that all afternoon. I think, quite honestly, the lemonade sets it off beautifully. I think it's slightly better. I'd be quite interested to taste Scrumpy Jack 6% cider with lemonade. So I'll do that when I can. Scrumpy Jack is made at Simmons Yacht, Herefordshire. I've never actually been to Simmons Yacht. I've been past it lots of times. But the trouble is, when you want to go up there, it's when everyone else wants to go up there, and there's probably nowhere to turn around or park or anything. And so it's kind of one of those places that I'm likely to avoid. What I'd say is, it tastes of lemonade and nothing else when you put lemonade with it. But if you do want a long drink for a hot summer's afternoon, that is pretty good. And I quite possibly will keep that one in the back of my mind. I think there's, I just like to have a whole vocabulary of drinks, you know, that, and I mean, after all, you could always put a shot of vodka in the bottom if you wanted the alcoholic buzz, but it's to do with the refreshment, you know. I mean, quite often I want to start drinking at lunchtime and just continue drinking until midnight. So that's 12 solid hours of alcoholic drinks when I won't have anything soft, or, you know, like water or milk or something. So if you're a really big bad boy, you know, knuckle duster, cider drinker, quite frankly, I don't think you're going to like either of these. If you like sweet ciders, you will adore the Juicy Apple. It's really good. I mean, if you like Copperberg or that Moot thing, any of those, try this, because it's quality compared to those. Okay, but I have to say, I'm really quite, I'm not disappointed, because like I've gone and bought the wretched thing and I don't want to drink it. I think it's nice. I think it's really nice. But I think it's probably one of the more disappointing drinks that I've probably ever bought is the Thatcher's Vintage Founders Cider at 8.3%, because it just tastes like the other one, you know. Although it's going to knock me back twice as quickly, apparently. But I don't know if anyone ever drinks half and half cider and lemonade, but it's a very, very good idea if you're out in the West Country driving around on a sunny day, especially a motorbike. It's going to get you into the ditch probably half as fast. I mean, you'll be driving only, you know, 30 miles an hour instead of 60. Anyway, so there it is. I'm just going to make a lovely fruit salad and put all the double cream on, because double cream is the dream, isn't it? You know, well, it is these days, the price that they're trying to charge. Quite frankly, it's got to the point where I think I might as well have a cow. Just tether the cow to my caravan, it could chew the grass and it would save money on the bloke that comes around and mows. I mean, you know, and then it fertilises the grass and all that as well, doesn't it? It's all, you know, nature's wonderful all in sort of thing, and that's really what cider is. So if you've never tried cider before, go and try some, and you can't do worse. No, I mean, you can't do better. You could do worse. You could do worse than trying one of the Thatcher's range, because they are absolutely brilliant for a newbie cider person. They're much, much better. Much better than Old Mout, Copperberg, that other one, that that Swedish one, the other, there's another one, Resti or something, you know, those. If it says strawberry and lime, it's not cider, okay? Because cider is apple, not strawberry and lime. Yeah? At the worst, put lemonade in, but don't put strawberry or lime in a cider for good grief, please. Just don't do it. You're maudlin. You're insiders. You really are. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to swiftly down this bit. I'm going to do a nice photograph with the two different ones so you can see. And I'm going to make myself a beautiful fruit salad. And I'm going to lie back with a historical romance novel about people who fall in love, that sort of thing, you know. And I'm just going to waste the afternoon away. Thanks for listening in. Keep listening into my cider stuff, because if anyone knows their ciders, I think you can probably tell. I know my ciders, I know my cider farms, and the person that owns Western Cider, who is a Western, they've got a car, and the reg plate is C1DER. That's pretty neat. That is.